Welcome, everybody, to the studios of WEAA. I'm Mike Nice, and tonight we're going to do a special recording of the Hip Hop Chronicles, which is a show that I host here with a bunch of all-stars during the week, Monday through Friday, 12 a.m. to 2 a.m., so make sure you tune in. Yeah. Thank you. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about the act on climate, okay? Big topic right now as we move into the election year. We're also going to be registering people to vote as well. So I want you to make sure that you, if you're not registered already, go ahead and register. But we're going to hop straight into the show, and it will air tonight at 12 a.m. on this station, WEAA. So go ahead and lock that in. All right. So again, welcome and enjoy the conversation. And we're going to take questions as well. So at some point, be ready to, if you have a question or something, go ahead and write it down. And at some point, we're going to go ahead and get you up to the microphone. Get you on camera, and we're also videotaping it too, so it'll run on Bear TV for the students to take part in and check out a little later. All right, right now I'm going to turn it over to Siv Jones, which is the host normally for tonight, Tuesday night, inside the feed. So this is a special edition of the Hip Hop Chronicles and the feed.
Absolutely. Welcome, yes. welcome. Morgan, let me hear you make some noise real quick. All right, this is going to be a lively discussion. We're going to ask you all to write down your questions and different things like that. We're going to show you how the effect on global climate and the climate control and everything that's going on globally with our environment, how it directly relates to you. So again, welcome our esteemed panelists. To my left, I have the Reverend Yearwood. He's the founder and the CEO of the Hip Hop Caucus. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Yes. Next to him is Antonique Smith. She's Grammy-nominated singer and actress from the movie Notorious B.I.G. All right.
Thank you.
She played Faith, right. All right, next we have Star Brooks, a Baltimore native author, motivational speaker, and media personality. Welcome. And our liveliest panelist is Malik Youssef, five-time Grammy-winning producer, poet, producer for Kanye, Rihanna, Common, and many more. Welcome. All right, by a show of hands, how many in our audience can link or can see the what's going on globally with the environment that's happening in your city? Do we see that link with the global control and climate control? By a show of hands, if you do see it. Okay, a couple of people. So this is what this panelist is for. It's for you to understand how things that are going on in the environment, how it directly relates to you. So let's get to some of these questions. Most people understand the pollution is, and they understand what pollution is not, and we understand that our who we are as far as African Americans and where we live in the inner city, we have lead paint poisoning, we have asthma, we have different things that directly relate to us that we might not be able to see that link between the environment. Reverend Yearwood, why is it so important for the hip hop community to take on this battle with global change and environment? And why should we be even concerned about these issues?
Because our lives matter, and because we are important. And we are, our communities are as important as anybody else's communities. And so for many, many years, this is actually not a new issue. For many, many years, our communities have been thought of as the path of least resistance. Definitely, me, actually. Our communities have been thought of as the path of least resistance. So when we deal with climate change and pollution, what that is that there are companies who make profits, and part of their profit-making schemes is that they have to release toxins or pollution in the air. For many years, they've put things from dog food companies, which has runoffs. They put things in there from landfills. They put coal-fired power plants, and they will put these things in communities of color. As a matter of fact, 68.
What's a coal-fired power plant?
Yeah, so a coal-fired power plant is a power plant that burns coal, and in burning coal, a fossil fuel is coal, gas, or oil, and in burning these fossil fuels, it releases carbon dioxide, but it also releases carbon dioxide. it releases particulate matter, which is like, you probably can't even really see it, but it's the kind of thing that gets into your lungs, actually sticks to your lungs. But even more so, releases pollution. Why is all this really important? It's because they would, bottom line, they would place this in our communities. So for instance, this wonderful institution, Morgan State University, which I think is just a phenomenal school here in the state of Maryland, if they were to then say, hey, we're going to build this black college, what they would normally do back in the day, so we're going to build this black college, but we're going to build a school on what used to be a trash dump. Or we're going to build a school that used to be a toxic facility. And we're going to put your dormitories on top of that. So you'd be like, wow, it looks great. It's nice buildings. It looks nice. We have grass now. Well, they wouldn't tell you that the pollution or the toxicity from the ground rises up because of asthma, cancer, bronchitis. This is the thing. The bottom line is there have been companies for many, many, many years who have put pollution in our company knowing this, in essence, killing our children and killing our families, giving them cancer. And so for many years, we would stand up. It isn't new. So from North Carolina, fighting landfills in Chicago, fighting Pepco, from so many different places, fighting pollution. Where all this leads to now is this, and this is the point here, why we should care in hip-hop, is because we are not the path of least resistance. And we will not allow for these companies to pollute our families and children anymore. The number one, 1 in 6 African-American children have asthma. Actually, I'm going to ask the other question. Some of you put your hand up about the connection for climate change, and a few of you did it. For those who are listening by radio, you really couldn't see the audience. Maybe there's about 10%. I'm going to ask you this question. How many of you know somebody who has asthma? Put your hands in the air.
Yeah, I think all of us.
So then you got 90%.
Right.
How many of you somebody who has cancer? Put your hands in the air. About 85%. So there's your link. There's your link. It is not natural for our communities to have such high rates of asthma and cancer, higher than any other community. And when we look at where these pollution and these companies are, they're putting them in our community. So Act on Climate does this. Present tense, we recognize that they are killing our communities with pollution. We'll get into it, why that has happened. It's happened because a lot of times we've had politicians who turn their face and haven't dealt with them. They just say, put us in our communities. We've dealt with it because it's my organizations. It hasn't been, quote unquote, our issue. That's one reason. But now it's the further issue. The same carbon dioxide that's being released in the air that causes pollution is now causing climate change. In 2000, this has been, every single year has been hotter than the other year. 2014 hotter than 2013. 2013 hotter than 2012. 2015 on track to be higher than 2014. In essence, this is the thing. Not only are these companies killing our present, but they're killing our future. And so that's why it's important for us to act on climate, because our lives matter and our future generations' lives matter as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Reverend Yearwood. And we do have some other esteemed guests in our audience. We have Ashley T. Moore from Love & Hip Hop. She's going to join us for the second half. We also have State Delegate Sean Tarrant is in the audience as well. And we also have Joe Gamble from the Joe Gamble Foundation, who just recently did a community cleanup here in Baltimore. And this brings me to my other question. Antoinette, if you can, Anthony, can you answer this? Mm-hmm. Many people in our communities, people of color, and kind of medium, low-income communities, we deal with a lot of other issues. We have to deal with police brutality. We have to deal with community violence. We have to deal with education. And how do you get those in those communities to actually be concerned about what is actually happening on their own blocks?
I would say that it's all the same concern. That's really what we're out here trying to let them know, that it's totally connected. It's the same movement. You know, Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. they're killing us in the streets, but they're also killing even more of us in our homes, just living life, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, what they consider, you know, rights. So is clean air and clean water. So if what we're trying to show everybody is that the anger that we all feel, the fury that we all feel of how we're being killed in the streets, we should feel that same way about them putting this pollution in our communities that's killing us.
Right.
Absolutely. So I would say that's how we get them to care about it. Is be connected to what everybody's already upset about. Absolutely. Because it's the same thing.
Now, Star, you're a Baltimore native. You live here in the city.
I am.
All right. Now, this year, the Mayor Advisory Council and the Small Women and Women for Business released some ideas on how to improve the city, far as bringing in solar panels and just different new technology to help curb some of this global concerns with dealing with our climate. What else can those in the audience do far as solution seeking in their own communities, or what are you doing far as to help decrease some of that environmental changes and problems in the city of Baltimore?
I really feel like it has all to do with education and being knowledgeable about what's going on, because a lot of us really just don't know. So the most important thing is getting yourself in the know and getting around those people and doing your research. We have the tools to do anything. We have Google now. We have everything, all type of tools to find out what is going on. And just even if you can just think of your loved one. I have a loved one that just left home and from hospice, stage 4 of colon cancer. My brother just survived stage 2 of colon cancer. So just if it's somebody that's connected to you, we're all connected to asthma, kids or family members that has all these problems. So just do the little extra work. I would just recommend doing a little bit more digging, especially when it comes to somebody that you love and something that's really connected to you, and just going the extra mile with really educating yourself and just being aware.
Absolutely. Now, Malik Youssef, you are very popular in the hip-hop community and in the hip-hop industry. Is there anybody else that has that celebrity clout speaking on these issues as far as dealing with the environment? And how can those that's in the audience get familiar with what they're actually saying?
Yes, thank you for that question. And I'm honored to be on the panel with these knowledgeable and incredible people that care so much about our community, and I appreciate y'all.
Love you too, Malik.
Yes, there are several people. To start off, we did a project called Home last year around this time.
About a year ago.
And we did it. We did an album release or a pre-album release in D.C., and we had lines around the corner of primarily black people coming to a project about the environment. It's called HOME, which is an acronym for Heal Our Mother Earth. And Antonique Smith, who's basically the star of the CD, she redid Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy Me. And it is a powerful rendition. And do yourself a favor in life. Treat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. Get a hold of that piece. Do yourself a favor and absorb that and be blessed by it. We also had Candace Glover from American Idol, the biggest winner in American Idol history, the group Carmen, who were signed off the internet for doing cover songs, a husband and wife group that happened to be European-American, Jessica Kerr Moore, who's a poet from Apollo, who had to be retired from Apollo because she could not stop winning the Amateur Night. Every week she would win, and she participated. We've had Raheem Devon. He's on the album as well. Ryan McDermott from Good Music, Common, Kumasi from Compton, Neo, Sona Riel from the UK, and just so many other artists. So yes, this issue is alive and well inside the music world. As a matter of fact, Michael Jackson did a song called Earth Song that Neo covered. Mm-hmm. So the propagandized media will not show this. They'll show everything else, but they will not show this. So there are a lot of people addressing this issue. And how I attack the issue is from a standpoint of awareness, but also making our politicians aware that we are onto them. We're onto them taking checks under the table. Mm-hmm. We're onto their nonchalantness when it comes to our community. We elect you to speak for us, not for the corporation that's paying you. Because we pay tax to the government. The government is your main paymaster, which means me, because I am the government. We are the government. Human beings, people are the government. Do not let them tell you that the government is on Capitol Hill. And also, as far as especially black folk, because we tend to be the most religious people in America, you know, be it Christianity, Islam, whatever you practice, stop asking God to help people that you are perfectly well suited to aid and assist. You've been given the power to go do it yourself, but you God, please, you know, bless my mama, you know, and help her get past her cancer, when you could be legislating for better environment. So stop putting your work on God. Stop it. That's just like saying, oh, man, I really want to get up for work. God, let me wake up for work when I leave this club. Get out the club. Go. You got the power. Go. Leave the club and wake up for work on time. Don't ask God to do your work for you. So we got to get out of that mind state, and we cannot pass the buck, so to speak, or absolve ourselves of responsibility to make the changes that we want to see.
Absolutely. Thank you, Malik. Thank you. Now, Reverend Yusuf. Reverend, I'm sorry. Reverend Yearwood, Malik Yusuf. You should become a reverend. Maybe I spoke that into existence.
All right, amen.
Because you just gave us a sermon just a few minutes ago. But Reverend Yearwood, Baltimore is coming up on a big election year next year. We have several major races happening. And the Hip Hop Caucus is probably the most political organization that we have as far as in the hip hop community. What are some of those issues that our young voters should be expecting some of these political leaders to talk about and to be concerned about when it comes to climate control?
Yeah, let me just take one step back if I could.
Absolutely.
And just echo. So I don't think we understand for how important that Antonique is, and definitely how important Malik Yusuf is. I've been doing this now for a while. Hip Hop Caucus was created out of a kind of a consortium of organizations. That's very important. In 2003, 2004, P. Diddy had an organization called Citizen Change. Jay-Z had an organization called Voice Your Choice. And Russell Simmons had the Hip Hop Summit Action Network, who actually I worked for at the time as his political director. And then when all these three kind of formed together, I was kind of made the president of that organization, the Hip Hop Caucus. We then moved from New York to D.C. because we recognized that demonstration without legislation leads to frustration. And so we also recognized that at that time, we need to be at the table. And for too many times while we talk about politics, we in hip hop have always been political. We're in our songs, you can hear it. It's everything from Tribe all the way to Kendrick Lamar. You can hear hip hop being political, but hip hop hasn't done before this wasn't dealing with politics, meaning shaping policy. What it means to shape policy is that we shape policy, because either we shape policy or policy will shape you. And so for too long, we've been shaped. That means that we've been shaped. When they say we're going to cut the funding for Morgan, then we be in shape, because then we run around here trying to gather support. Well, we don't have the folks who are in office. We're being shaped when Baltimore, when we do have issues of police reform and police problems. It's not new. Baltimore is not new to police brutality. That's not a new thing. It's not even Freddie Gray was like, wow, Freddie Gray's the first case of police brutality in our city. That is not the situation. We've had it for many, many, many years. And so we can't be acting like it's this new. As a matter of fact, the mayor came into office talking about police reform prior to Freddie Gray. So what I would say is this, in regards to, you know, the voting process and what it means. Yes, we need to vote. And I look at the numbers for Baltimore, and they were abysmal, to be honest. They were not high. Now, that's actually, some folk will just take that and run with that and say, well, they're off. The numbers are bad. So that just means that you're bad. That also means that we are not putting people in position that we get excited about, who we know will be fighting for us when they get in office. Having a black face in a white place or in a high place don't mean they're going to be our representative in that process. So what I think we need to do now is that we need to get serious. Why this conversation is so important here at Morgan State and at any black college or really all across the city is that we need to really look at what it means to deal with politics in Baltimore and for us to be the head and not the tail.
Come on.
And so let me just say this in regards to voting. Voting is important. I would hope that you all vote 100%. Morgan, they look at the numbers. So out of this city, out of the school, they would say, well, this many students voted. That's important. But the next step is this, is that once we get finished voting, we have to hold those accountable and measurable who are in office, because that is where the problem lies. for hip hop to be truly powerful or to do what we need to do, it doesn't mean that we sit on the sidelines. It means that we have to get in this game. Policy is life and death, y'all. Slavery was a policy. Jim Crow was a policy. All these things that regarding police reform, that those are policies. And so we have to be the ones to create and shape policy. If we do not do that, if we do not shape policy, then all we will be doing is complaining. And that's cool for some. But what I really believe from what I see here at Morgan is that while we may not, to be honest, be revolutionary as they were in the 60s, meaning that we just came in here, they killed somebody, we all just run outside. Mm-hmm. That's just how it was. We don't even know what's going on. They just, hey, somebody got beat outside, we just run outside. That's cool. It's important to be revolutionary. But for our generation, we're not as much revolutionary. We have to be solutionary. Meaning that we got to find a solution before we go outside. Stay inside, talk about it, figure it out, figure out what the plan is, and then once we know the plan, then we go outside.
All right. All right. Now, Antoinique, earlier we discussed some of the different problems as far as with the climate control issues. We said that we have asthma, high lead paint poison, some forms of cancer. Additionally, how else can we detect some of those climate issues in our own communities? Like, what should we be looking for? I know that I live on North Avenue, and I saw the biggest rat ever in Baltimore City. And it used to be you didn't see them in the daylight.
Right.
And now they're coming out in the daylight, like 10, 20 at a time. Absolutely. So issues like that, I mean, this is in Baltimore City. Now, issues like that, what else are some of those climate issues that as concerned citizens, we can say, hold on, something's not right here in my community. I need to therefore go talk to my city council person about what's going on in my community. What else are some of those issues that we should be looking out for?
That's absolutely an issue. We have a big park in, it's in Newark, but I grew up so close to Newark from East Orange. Was so close to Newark that it feels like it was my Jersey. And there used to be like dead fish and dead stuff, like just right on the, like the, what do you call that? Right
the
on
bank? The,
like, yeah, like yeah. Right on the water bank. Through the whole park. And that was water that you were never supposed to get in. That was not the go swim in the water park. You stayed out of that water for sure. And if you did fish, you just was fishing for fun, and you were supposed to throw that fish back in. You do not want to eat it.
Right.
So that kind of stuff is like a telltale sign that something is going on in your community as far as, you know, the climate issue and the pollution especially. That is one thing that comes to mind that I've experienced. Does anybody else have
anybody else? Yeah, feel free to chime in.
That's
like, what else,
I can think,
you know,
off the top of my head.
Yeah, some of the environmental proclivities that you'll notice is the browning of fields. Mm. You'll notice tree degradation, because what's happening is our winters are not long enough. Mm. So certain insects that they call frost kill, that would die with the frost and have to regenerate like the natural cycle of life, they don't experience that frost kill. So they're eating through trees. So you'll notice that. If you notice lack of bees, it's environmental because they're partaking in poisonous plants. So what a group called Monsanto does is they basically mutate plants, and plants flower before they become plants. And when the bees take the pollen back, it actually sterilizes them. And so they can't reproduce. The queen can't reproduce. So when you see bees leaving, when you see lack of the diversity in birds, because some bird species, the more beautiful they are, mm-hmm. the more susceptible they are as well, because they're delicate. When you see pigeons move in where it used to be, you know, finches and cardinals mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So those are some of the telltale signs. But also pay attention to people's attitude, because some of these toxins are neurotoxins that affect behavior.
Yeah.
They are actually called behavior modifiers. Yeah. It's in your food too. Anything with red, number 5, Lake 40, which is a cheap way to make things a color. Yeah. Make things red or like yellow 40, blue 40, all those things, behavior modification. So when you get upset, it's hard for you to calm yourself down. Everybody gets upset. We know that. But most people say, okay, I'm grown. You know, I can calm myself down. When you have neurotransmitters that are being blocked and affected by these chemicals, it's worse than being on drugs or being on alcohol because you can't figure out how to resolve the conflict. So notice those things in kids, younger kids in school that can't calm themselves down, that should be able to, like 6 or 7 years old, negotiate through a conflict, and they can't do it. Those are some of the signs. And, of course, illness, asthma, cancer, severe headaches, migraines. Migraines are not natural. When you're having a headache, my nigga, you're not having a deficit of aspirin. It's like the aspirin, my body is low. Let me get some more aspirin in here. You know, painkillers is not taking your headache away. It's numbing the pain. Your headache is saying, okay, something's wrong here. Body, okay, hey, I'm just letting you know. Get yourself together. Drink more water. Eat better food. Get clean air. That's what your body is telling you. So you say again, or some sleep maybe, you know. But so those are some of the telltale signs. And what you talk about the rat, mm-hmm. The reason why the rats are being big because some of the steroids and the poison. Oh. Yeah, there are steroids in the poison that's supposed to kill them. Those steroids are speeder. They are, what's the name of it? But it the accelerators.
Okay.
So they make the poison go through the body faster, but the rats are adapting to it. And in inner city, we don't have natural predators for rats. Right. Snakes are gone. Mm, right. No falcons, no foxes, no cougars, uh-huh. No lynx. So we did away with that environment. So we encroached on those environments. So rats go unchecked because they don't have a natural predator. That's why you're seeing rats. But the size is because of the steroids in the poison. So they have to keep coming up with more and more poisons. Those poisons also get into your water system as well. Wow. So you got kids developing, little girls developing breasts at an early age, stuff like that. So.
Wow. All right. Wow. This is, whoo, boy, we're going to get into how you can protect yourself in the next half. What are some things you can do to make sure that your community is protected as well? You're listening to the first half of our special edition of the Hip Hop Chronicles discussion on Act on Climate. We have our guest, Reverend Yearwood of the founder of the Hip Hop Caucus. We have Antoinique Smith, Grammy-nominated singer, Reverend Yearwood again, Malik Youssef. I was about to call you Reverend. Reverend Youssef. Oh wow! And we have Star Brooks, and coming up, we're going to talk to Ashley T. Moore is going to join our panel. Then we're going to hear from you all. We're going to throw it back to you all. I want you all to get down some questions, ask our panelists some questions. We're going to take it to you. Okay. So the next half is all about Morgan State University students coming up and asking some of those questions or giving us some answers or telling us about some of the solutions that you're doing. Like I said, we have a lot of community advocates and advisors here that are doing some things in Baltimore City, community cleanups weekly, and we're going to let you know how you can get involved with that. So again, you're listening to WEAA's Hip Hop Chronicles.
Beats, knowledge, and flavors, the Hip Hop Chronicles, the mix show designed with public radio in mind. I'm Mike Nice. Welcome to the show. Tonight is a special edition of the Hip Hop Chronicles, and we're hosting the Act on Climate Tour, and it's all hosted and moderated by our one and only Siv Jones. Yeah. Big hand clap for her. All right, so everybody out there in radio land, you know it's live, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Siv right now.
All right, so if you're joining the discussion right now, we are taking your comments and questions. You can call us at 1-844-6-HIP-HOP. It's our 24-hour hotline. Leave your questions and comments, and we will answer them as soon as we can. And also, make sure you follow us at Hip Hop Chronicles, WEAA, on Instagram and on Facebook. So again, welcome to our live town hall discussion about the Act on Climate. We have some esteemed guests from the Hip Hop Caucus, Reverend Yearwood, founder and CEO. We have Malik Youssef. We have Antoinique Smith. And joining us is Ashley T. Moore, who is an R&B star here in Baltimore. And I want Ashley to answer this first question since you are here in Baltimore. Ashley, what can hip-hop artists and artists in general that are representing Baltimore, how can they be more engaged with climate and how to, you know, pretty much protect our environment and the city and the community that they live in?
Well, I think, like, you know, as far as, like, even when, like, the Freddie Gray incident happened, we all came together and, you know, went out and tried to do things that could help what was going on. So I think as far as for the climate, I think that we still should get together and do the same thing. I think the first thing that we need to do is become aware of everything that is going on, because just today, as I sit here and I'm listening to, you know, the panel and everything, I'm becoming aware of what's going on. So now, as I sit here, I'm trying to figure out what is it that I could do to change what's going on, because, you know, of course, like, the pollution and everything that's going on is hurting us. It's not helping us. So anything that we can do to get together to help improve what's going on is helpful. So
absolutely. Now, Reverend Yearwood, we hear about the problems constantly. It's constantly being drilled in our heads, problems, but we rarely hear about solutions. Let's move the conversation into more solutions. What can we do, first of all, just ourselves, but when we leave out of here, what can we do to be more equipped or just knowledgeable about our environment and our communities that we live in?
I mean, I think we have to really know that there are problems, right? I think we do need to know that. And I think there are solutions. So let me just be very, very clear. We all want lights. We all want air conditioning. We want to get from point A to point B. All we are saying is that we can do this better and cleaner. Is that all we're saying is that those who are profiting, who have fossil fuel companies, the oil industry, the gas industry, and the coal industry, those are the ones who want to create your power off of a dirty energy source. And so we don't want that dirty energy source, because now we want the clean energy source. So, for example, for visual aid, I'm going to do this on radio because I know people are listening. If this water right here, and I'm holding up a water bottle, came from the toilet, right? And I poured it in this glass.
Is the glass clean, though?
Doesn't matter. And I poured it into this glass, and I passed it to you. And they all knew this was toilet water, but you didn't know, right?
Right.
And you began to pick it up. What would y'all do? Y'all would be like, right? No. That's important. But so what happens, though, if we know that this is toilet water and we know you're about to drink it and Antonique can stop you, but the one who is selling the water has paid off Antonique. So all you're now doing, she knows you're drinking toilet water.
Right.
And all you're doing is drinking toilet water. You're bathing in toilet water. You're washing your children in toilet water. You're putting your food toilet water. That is what is happening to our people. Fossil fuels are dirty. The pollution is killing. It is the equivalent of dirty water and dirty air. Clean air and clean water is a civil rights issue. We have a right to clean air. We have a right to clean water. And so those who are forcing their toilet water on us, or that toilet air upon our community, knowingly so, and knowing that this water can come from a better source, but it will cost them more. Because they say, well, man, if I'm going to give you this water now goes from, it might cost me more, I'm not going to have as profit. But if I give her this toilet, well, I make a lot of money. I can just go and just dip it out the toilet. And I make a lot of money off this. So that's the way it is. So that's the kind of thing that we're dealing with. People are putting profits over people, and they're feeding our people garbage. They're putting our people in pollution. And the numbers that we're talking about don't lie. Last year, unarmed people killed by police of the country was just over 1,000 people. Now, that's wrong. And yeah. That's wrong. People who died directly from coal-fired power plants was 13,000 people. Directly from dirty air in California alone, not coal-fired power plants, but from this dirty air, 7,000 people die from dirty air alone in California. So what we're talking about here is simply this. The solution is simply that we don't want them to give us toilet water anymore. You have to give our people clean water. We know you can get clean water, that there's solar and there's wind. You can manufacture clean water. And we know it's been cheap giving us toilet water, but the day for feeding our people toilet water is over.
Amen. All right. Now, Antoinette.
Point blank, period.
Absolutely. Now, Antoinette, I want to throw this to Antoinette. We hear about fossil fuels. We hear about clean air, clean water. But I still don't know exactly what that means and why I should really be concerned. So when they break down clean air, you know, and I see, you know, we live here in Maryland, in Maryland, so you can't really see the pollutant. But if you do go over to, you know, the West Coast, you can see the pollutant in the air. You can see the smog in the air. But far as in Maryland, on the East Coast, when they talk about clean air, clean water, what exactly, lamest term, what exactly are you talking about?
There is something called a clean energy power plant. Right now what we have is power plants that are producing carbon emissions. And I grew up 10 miles away from one in New Jersey. And it smells horrible. I mean, it's famous.
Absolutely.
You going down the turnpike in New Jersey, what does that smell?
We had my that whole in life. Dunsall.
Yeah. That is from that power plant. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not velvet, that's for sure. So there is an opportunity for them to just completely change the way they can do, you know, still make their profits, still make profits. We'll have power.
Right.
We can have light, but do it in a way that's not killing anybody.
Absolutely.
And it's called a clean power plant. There's also, like you said, there's wind, there's solar, you know, solar panels. There's just other ways to create power and energy without being dirty, without toxic waste, without any kind of chemicals that are hurting anybody.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's really like a no-brainer to me. You know, like, I can't believe that we even have to talk to somebody about this, that it's an issue that somebody wouldn't just automatically go, oh, well, duh.
Right.
Yeah, greed. Right, greed. That's really how sad it is, that money is that more important to some people that they'd rather see us all die.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, Malik, we're going to throw it to you. Then after Malik answers this question, audience, please get ready to answer some questions to our panel. Now, Malik, you're in the hip-hop industry, and you're behind the scenes, so we know that you make a lot more money than those that are in front of the scene. Now, we hear this global climate control, but usually when the solutions happen or when the funding happens to fund some of these solutions, the African-American community usually gets left out.
Yeah.
Now, how can we as young brothers and sisters at a esteem university, how can we be on the front line of getting some of that funds or being on the front line of getting into some of those jobs? And what are those jobs that we should be looking for when it comes to climate control?
Well, thank you for that. That's a beautiful question. I'll answer that in three swift parts. The first thing is, you understand you're dealing with an industry. An industry has been built over time. It's the industrialization of a process. For short, we call it industry. You know, the beverage industry, the medical industry. And we put this like spooky big God attachment or this theos type attachment to it. It's just really a whole bunch of moving parts put together. And it's delicate, because if you break one of those parts, just like in an automobile, you can't drive without the brakes, which is a small part of the car. The transmission, smaller part of the car. Power steering, even smaller part of the car. In a certain weather, you can't drive without windshield wipers, which are like $10.
Right.
You can't drive a Ferrari without windshield wipers if it's raining. So we have to look at the parts that we can break. We can break the wheel of the people that are taking the money. That's dirty money. It's the filthy lucre. There's a saying from the old days, Native American saying, that three different families pray to God. They pray to the Great Spirit that their land be blessed. And they worked and they toiled the land. And lo and behold, the land started to produce. They worked and they toiled and they prayed and they toiled. And as their generations came, three generations down, four generations down, and the trees grew and the plants grew. And God came back to them and said, I have blessed you. Now take these trees down and use them to further your kingdom. And the first family, God said, what will you do? He took down, God bless you, baby. He took down the trees and made really incredible weapons with them. Spears, sharp, trained his kids to make these spears. Incredible. Said, we're going to use this to protect our land from the infidels that want to come and take our crops. I said, okay. Went to the next family and said, when you take the trees down from your area, what will you do with your trees? He said, man, you know what? We ain't really for making spears. I don't want to see no bloodshed. We're just going to make these tall, beautiful fences. They're going to be beautiful, though. We're going to paint on the outside of them and paint on the inside. So people won't feel ostracized. They'll see beautiful paintings. And we train our children as artists. They're going to be incredible artists. I said, okay, check. Went to the third, said, what will you do? He said, well, I'm going to take these trees. I'm going to cut them down. And I'm going to teach my kids how to make longer tables and more chairs so we can feed the people with the excess crops. And that's what doesn't happen in our community. We always waiting to make it and we're going to go back. And you never go back. Jesse Jackson said, they came to do good and did well. Right now, either in this room or listening to this radio broadcast, is somebody that's working for the federal government or the agencies that help continue the degradation of the black community. They are listening closely and they're taking a small check, a couple hundred thousand dollars or some garbage, to destroy what could be $1 million community, a trillion. We are a $1 trillion spending community. So what we have to do, you guys at this school, you have to galvanize and you have to organize around these points and you have to hold your politicians accountable and tell them you're gonna show up at their church, at their house, at their mom and them crib, at their family reunion, at the restaurant they eat at, because they cannot take money to kill you. You can't take money and let dude kill me. And that's the solution, is to organize and, you know, rage against the machine, but it's really organize against the machine. Because you can take it down. They aren't omnipotent. They aren't God. They might present themselves as gods because they got Wall Street and they got all the everything reinforces the corporation and they're going to create a job for you. When? When they going to create a job for you that don't kill you? When? They've been telling me this since I've looking at TV since the 80s. They ain't did it yet. So are they going to just grow a heart, like the little Grinch heart going to get big? Give all the toys back to the kids in Whoville? That's a cartoon. That's a falsehood. You know, power concedes nothing, man.
All right. Now, if any of the audience member have any questions, please, you can line up at this time to ask our panelists some questions. And so don't all move at once. Come on up. Don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
Now, while they're coming up, Reverend Yearwood, I want to ask you, far as legislation in the office, what should we be looking at? Is there any bills that are directly dealing with the environment issues at this point? Yeah. And what are those bills that we should be looking out for?
Number one, I think Anthony said it earlier. It's the Clean Power Plan. The Clean Power Plan is our legislation right now. That the Clean Power Plan will allow for us to actually curb and stop all the pollution that's coming from the coal-fired power plant. And so that's probably one of the most important. And please know that coal-fired power plants emit more carbon dioxide than every car, every train, every plane, all together. So that means that if we can limit that, it'll have a huge impact on not only the pollution, but also on the carbon dioxide being put into the air.
All right. And go ahead, Ashley.
So basically what's going on is that they can't shoot us. So they're trying to control the environment by killing us with pollution. Because, I mean, if you think about it, when God created the world, we used to live way past 100 years. Mm-hmm. So this is their way of controlling us because it's so many of us. So it's like, you know, what can they do to stop us from growing so big? And it's more in the urban community because I think that they're trying to stop us from growing the most. I mean, I don't want to sound prejudiced or anything like that, but I really think that that's what's going on.
Numbers don't lie.
So, I mean, this awareness today has really, like, opened my eyes a little bit more because, I mean, I've always thought it, but just to hear it and listen to it is, you know.
It breaks it down.
It breaks it down.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Come on up. You can come on up and I ask your question.
Brother, you're Afro tight. Tell you that now. You're fro tight, Joe.
Thank you. The question that I have is in regards to one of the things that I know is that the reason that the big companies have such a hold on everything is because we don't incentivize, you know, the creation of the expansion of you know, renewable resources. And one of the things I was thinking about years ago was, you know, why is it that we don't have, you know, several solar panels on top of every single building in the city? You know, if you do that kind of stuff en masse, the impact would be much greater. So that kind of thing. And also, are there any black-owned outfits that are engaged in pollution cleanup? You know, because we are running around here with our hands out. Why don't we have these entities up and running?
So that's a great question. So the first part of your question is that, one, you know, we are transitioning from one, as Malik put, one industry to the other industry. You know, when we transition from the Stone Age to the Industrial Age, you know, we didn't use all the stones before we transitioned to the Industrial Age, right? They say we got some more stones left, so and then we can go to, you know, this. So we don't need to use all the coal, gas, and oil before we can transition to a better way. So your point is this, but it is an industry. So you're right, it's a very competitive. The fossil fuel industry, which is subsidized by our government in many cases, is literally, there are CEOs within that industry to study who are making, in some cases, literally $100 million, $50 million a year. That's just one person's salary. And so when you're making that much money, you don't want to transition at all. That's what you don't want to have happen. Now, your point about us, I think this actually was asked a question earlier, too, about funding. And I think it's actually a very important thing. And I actually just want to say this in hip-hop in general. And this art. We have developed this habit of waiting for people to fund us before we actually go move. We have to recognize that we have everything we want right here to create what we need to create, including funding ourselves. Because one of the key things is that he who funds you is he who controls you. And so we have to be very mindful sometimes of looking at what funding we're actually looking for, because there's some strength attached to that process. So I just want to say this for me. This is a big thing. I have all my degrees from HBCUs. I'm very blessed, most definitely. Yeah, give it up. I got all of them. I got my bachelor's, my master's, and my doctorate all from black colleges. So, and then taught at a white college.
What school was that?
That was Georgetown. Let us sink in. They know where the best come from.
Right.
So I wanted to say this about that. What is disturbing, though, about our black colleges is that we are not as innovative about what we need to do to be trendsetters. Why hip-hop is so important is because that we see people who are being innovators. And so we're not being innovators. And so we need to be innovators in this process. It doesn't mean that because we did it, and to some degree, our folks are sometimes so overworked, they don't want to be innovators. But also for us as students, for you as students, what you have to demand, and I mean this for me now, I run an organization, and I want to hire black college students. That's my first thing, to be a part of Hip Hop Caucus. But the one thing that I recognize that when people, no, but one thing I recognize, and definitely if you're good, to be part of Hip Hop Caucus, you got to be great. I mean, that's, yeah. I say this, though. If you want to be, we want you, Hip Hop Caucus, because we have to be great, because when you're called the Hip Hop Caucus and you deal with politics, you know, you got to be great. You got to be, which is good. You can't come through the door, like I can't come through the door and say, well, I'm so-and-so, so-and-so. I come to the door and the first thing they say is this, this, and that. With that being said, is that if you're at Morgan State or you're listening to this radio show and you are in a process of just having robotic intelligence, well, all you're doing is just trying to get a grade and pass without finding your genius, you're missing the boat. Mm. Also, if you're not connected with those outside of the academy, what we call GOTA, G-O-T-A, folks who can't come to Morgan, but they have genius outside the academy, and you're not working with them to find solutions, not to just get a green job, but to be green entrepreneurs, then that's the thing that we need to be. The great thing about Hip Hop Caucus is that we have learned how to create our industry, our lane. Nobody does culture and politics like us because we were determined to be the ones. Now, we got laughed at by mostly black people when we first started this process, who said, Hip Hop Caucus, y'all a band, y'all a group, ha, ha, ha. Y'all need to go back and fix the lyrics and do this and do that and do all those things. We were coming with policy and legislation, everything from Hurricane Katrina to the Gina Six, police brutality, Sean Bell, Oscar Grant. I reckon it's long. The war in Iraq. We even hold President Obama accountable from everything from Guantanamo to drones. I mean, that's because we again, when you're not bought, you can stand up and say what you need to say. And so I just want to say this to you. We need you, if ever before, to be excellent. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I know it's hard because we got a lot of things going on. But right now, we need you to be excellent. Because this issue that we're talking about, our parents fought for equality. So they can drink from the same water fountain, right?
Absolutely.
They can go to the water fountain and drink from that, and it wouldn't be white only, colored only, which was important. But right now, in the 21st century, we're not only fighting for equality, we're fighting for existence. Mm-hmm. And so genius is required. So if you're at Morgan, you are by that process, if you're in college, if you're in high school, or if you want to me, if you're on the street, you're a thug, we need excellence. I need the genius right now for our community. Because if not, when the pollution comes as it's coming, we will be the weakest ones, and the weak ones die. Whoa. And so we need to be strong. Because right now, 1 in 6 asthma means we're weak. We're getting the most heart attacks, most bronchitis, most cancer. That means we're weak. So we got to fix that. Take things out of our community that's killing us and be strong. Be the strong people that God has called us to be.
All right. Give it up. Yes. All right, we have time for one more question, and then I'm going to ask our panelists to give us our final thoughts, and we're going to end the broadcast. So go ahead with your question,
sir. First, I was to say thank you for your words. The panel has been great. My name is Dr. Mark Barnes. I am a geographer. Who's here at the great Morgan State University in the History and Geography Department. And there are some innovative things that are occurring here in History and Geography and elsewhere, like our Patuxent Environmental and Aquatic Research Laboratory. So my question is a really important one, and it's about sustainability. And so the message that you all are bringing today. It's sort of uneven because we also require some science, right, behind this. So my question, sustaining the message, so you have lay knowledge, as you mentioned, but we also have scientific knowledge, and we have to balance that. So what do you propose to sustain this message so that not only our students, but also our faculty, our staff, here at Morgan State University, other HBCUs, and even folks at Hopkins, et cetera, so forth. How do we sustain extreme important message? Because yes, we are getting impacted here by environmental change. Hampton is being impacted or will be by sea level rise that's occurring, et cetera, and so forth. So how do we sustain and bring those two communities together to sort of drive this message home and bring about real action and change of mind?
Excellent, excellent question. Let me just say that.
Now,
you know,
for the second time, Reverend.
Yeah.
A minute,
okay.
I know.
So just know that the tour, we should talk about, the tour has been from New Orleans, Ferguson, throughout Norfolk, and throughout bringing the message in that aspect. I would say that culture is important. Let's just speak to that, about using culture to bring a broader base. People can just hear it and understand it. And also, we have to challenge. I think that your point is right. We were at the Congressional Black Caucus, and we actually, just so you know, and we've said this, we actually have challenged the CBC to stop taking money from fossil fuel industry. Mm-hmm. When we went into the CBC, their main sponsors were BP, BP, Exxon, yeah. Chevron. Every fossil fuel company was sponsoring that. And so we are challenging even those who are around us, because we love the Congressional Black Caucus, but we don't want to see become the corporate Black Caucus, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that in the same thing for our institutions, the same way, taking just a little bit of dollars that don't matter. So I think that we're challenging on that side, but also more importantly, we are having forums. Dr. Michael Dorsey, he's a part of this tour. You hadn't seen him.
Part of Hip Hop Caucus.
Yeah, and so he's one of the former scientists. He's a part of this process. And also we're having this dialogue as well, not only with those in the EJ movement, but also those in the big green movements as well, and other scientists. And this tour goes from Ferguson and the French Quarter. We're ending up at COP21 at the UN negotiations. We're going to be going to Paris, take everything we learned on this tour, but also having that conversation in Paris about what we can do for our community as well. A phenomenal question. Thank you.
All right. And because of the sake of time, Malik, you can give us your final thoughts, and then we'll go around to the panel with your final thoughts and what the audience listening can do going forward.
Yeah, me, I study axiology, and I call myself an ethologist as well, on cultures and how cultures derive at solutions for the betterment of their civilization. And humans have done this and figured it out together for several years, each person playing a particular and special, super important part, even down to the garbage man. And we try, we understate that, oh, you're a trash collector. You know how important it is for your waste to be away from where you live?
Mm-hmm.
So that is not happening anymore. We didn't arrive at this place by accident. And I'm going to be very brief right here. When they said separate water fountains and so on and so forth, it was not a mistake that they did that. And they said, well, it's because Black people are dirty. But you do understand that only 80 years before that, Black people were nursing their babies, mm-hmm. living in their homes, fixing their food. But once it was no longer free, we became the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Now, why the separation? Because information flows through people. Even though we have technology, it's still a people-powered industry. Information will always be people-powered. So if I can't be next to you at the water fountain and say, hey, nice shoes, we can't have a relationship. When we had that information in slavery, we could do nothing with it because legislatively we had no power to utilize that or to activate that information. If we knew where they made the carts at, made no difference. We knew where they sold the tobacco at, made no difference to us. We couldn't sell our own tobacco. Once we could get that, we had to be separated. And this is the same thing that's happening right now. It's ecological racism. They keep you in these small areas where you get sick at and keep you away from where you can get the source of information that will heal you. And that's what we're fighting from a cultural standpoint with the Hip Hop Caucus. We are breaking those boundaries. We in the room with the white folk. Rev is with Leonardo DiCaprio today. He the whitest actor we got. Ain't nobody white. He blonde hair, blue eyes. Ain't nobody white than him. So we have broken down those barriers using who we are. We haven't changed who we are. We ain't changed our message. We Hip Hop Caucus.
Absolutely. All right, Ashley, your final thoughts?
Well, I mean, I feel like now that I am more aware of everything that's going on, I can use my voice as an artist to tell people that, you know, use your voice. And even if I usually don't vote. So, I mean, now it's just like, okay, you know, give me more reasons to vote. Give me more reasons to vote more than, oh, the president is going to be Black this year. So now it's like, you know, now that I know that I have something to vote for, I'll make sure that I do that because it's very important. It might not be anything wrong with you right now, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to be anything wrong with you later.
Absolutely.
That's just like I never thought that my dad was going to die from cancer when he was 60. I thought he was perfectly fine. Wow. So now that I, you know, I am more aware of everything that's going on, I'm definitely going to use my voice to share with everyone else what I've learned today.
Absolutely. Antoinette?
That's what I would say. Thank you for saying that. I love y'all so much. And this issue is so real. It's so serious. Sometimes I just want to jump out my skin because I'm so I want so much more to happen. I want everybody just to be well. I want everybody to feel hopeful and just be loved and just be healthy. And so, you know, we have a ways to go. Mm-hmm. But if you guys can go to hiphopcaucus.org, just get involved with what we're doing. Do a little research on the stuff we were talking about. Hold the people accountable that you've been voting for, and figure out who you should vote for this coming this coming election, who will be better representatives of what we need in our communities, who will be on this page, on this agenda, on our agenda. Let's win this battle.
Absolutely. And the Rev, yes. Take us out of here.
Take us out of here. So definitely, thank you. Thank you so much
for
letting us use this time. Definitely, peoplesclimatemusic.com. Peoplesclimatemusic.com. Please purchase the album Home.
Yes.
Malik Youssef did a phenomenal job producing that, and you can get it on iTunes. And so I would say that. Second thing, register to vote. Please make sure to vote
Ashley.
And vote and vote. Not just Ashley. Don't forget.
I wanted to make it sound like it was on the
But register to vote. But also, as the third thing is very important. If you don't have one, please get a passport. Please get a passport. We got to be global citizens, y'all. This issue is not just about us here in Baltimore, even America. This is about a world. This is a world thing. And in the 21st century, you have to be a global citizen. So please, if not, tomorrow, next week, apply for your passport. Last but not least, if I can just do this, I would love, we've been doing this on a tour the whole ways, and I would just say this, that, you know, there's one last thing that we do that this whole movement is based upon is love. I just want to say to those who I see and those who hear me, I love y'all so much. I love you. You have no idea how much I love you, and I know you love me, and we love our people, and we can only do this movement through love.
Right,
It won't come through money. It won't even come through being smart or being genius. We got all that, to be honest. But love is the thing that has brought us from through slavery, through Jim Crow, and love will help us beat poverty pollution. And with that, Anthony, can you give us a song? Mercy, Mercy,
I felt
Me.
That coming.
Oh, yeah, let's get it.
This song was written by Marvin Gaye over 30 years ago. And I'm going to say the words clearly. Oh, is it 40? Oh, Lord. Time is flying. 40 years ago. And the words are so crazy because it's more real now than it was when he wrote it. So I'm going to say the words so y'all can really hear it. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be, no. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be, no. Oil wasted on the ocean and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more abuse from men can she stand?
Woo! Yes. Thank you so much, Antoinette,
Sexist
Reverend Yearwood, Malik
chocolate.
Youssef, Ashley T. Moore, Star Brooks, Frank Johnson, Dwayne Plan B,
Frank,
Mike Nice, Star, I said Star Brooks, and you, the students at Morgan State University. Thank you all so much. for allowing this to happen, for coming and speaking with us. Welcome again. This is the Act on Climate Town Hall discussion. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, give us a call at 1-844-6-HIP-HOP. It's a 24-hour hotline. Make sure you follow Hip Hop Chronicles at WEAA on Instagram and Facebook. I've been your host for this evening. I'm Siv Jones. And make sure you follow me on my social media networks at Siv Jones. And until next time, you've been listening, and I want the clean water. Yeah. The clean water.
We converted you.
You've been listening to WEAA 88.9, where we educate the communities. This is the Hip Hop Chronicles. 88.